Hey, thanks for joining me today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5, if you want to get your Bibles open and ready for that. You know, I know it's a narrow group of people that think this way, but on a website I visited last week, an advertisement came up for this product. It's called Microshell. This suit is being touted as something that we could be wearing in our new normal. I guess we'll just completely cover ourselves now to stay safe from any contaminant on the planet. And as I explored this idea, Beware, I went down an internet rabbit hole on this one. The designers of the product are trying to get concert promoters and professional sports leagues to buy into this idea that this will be needed as we move into a post-lockdown life. You know, based on this company's belief, if you ever want to leave your house, this is your new normal, trapped in your own little bubble, untouched by the world around you. I've got so many questions. Like, how do you... Okay. Never mind. Not even going to ask them. It's been hard enough to social distance and keep that notorious 6-foot hedge of protection. I can't imagine if you had to wear a protective suit just to leave the house. And currently, it's still being recommended not to shake hands or fist bump, not to hug those who live outside of your home. We're being asked to live life with a presumption that everyone has the plague. And if you get close, you might get it or you might give it. You know, for the first couple of weeks of this pandemic, when people were panicking, we would see strangers in the store coming right for us, and we would make this real wide pass, you know, suspicious that they were sick. I had a friend who told me that when he would pass by people in the store, he would hold his breath. I guess he thought that would keep him safe. I'll tell you, though, I have regrets in all of this mess. Like, Kelly and I have some dear friends that announced at the beginning of the social distancing stuff that they were expecting their very first child. And it's been a really difficult road for them. This was an exciting thing to share. This was big news for them. And they came over to our house. We met them in our driveway, making sure to keep our distance. And then our friends made that giant announcement that they were expecting. And we were so excited. But that's where it started and that's where it stopped. Like, even by my definition, that was a huggable moment. But instead, here's what I did. I leaned in and I gave each of them a fist bump. How lame is that? Like, what a terrible response to such amazing and exciting news. Like, for some of you, I get it. Like, the social distancing recommendations have been a godsend for you. You know you have like a great excuse now not to touch others or talk to people. It's been the best for some of you. But for the majority of us, social distancing has been the most difficult part of this moment in history. Last week, I got this text message from a lady who I absolutely love who attends our church. She has missed out meeting with everyone and worshiping together like she had been so used to. And she's been staying home because she's over the age of 65, and she just found out that the age recommendations for church gatherings was just lifted this week, and she texted me, "I can't wait to get to church and give everyone a hug." You know, she lives alone. She doesn't have much social contact, hadn't felt much physical touch for weeks. I think many of us just forget that touch is a powerful yet underrated sense. Like, more than anyone else, Jesus knew the power of touch. When Jesus was ministering, it wasn't the healthy who were being asked to shelter in place or to social distance from one another. It was the diseased and the disabled who were shunned from society. People who had a disease or were disabled or even had a physical abnormality were pushed outside of the cities and the towns, and they were forced to live together in camps caring for one another. There were all kinds of discriminations that existed towards those who had a disease or had a disability. Society at that time looked down their nose at this group of people. And I think to make matters worse, the religious leaders of the time deemed those folks unclean and untouchable. So if you were a follower of God and touched someone who was labeled unclean, even if you were helping them, you were regarded as unclean. Like, you would have to go through this ceremonial cleansing, a ritual washing that would purify you. And if you were diseased or disabled during the time Jesus ministered, you experienced the worst of social distancing. This is the context where we find Jesus in chapter 5 of the Gospel of Luke. And here's the situation, starting in verse 12, and we're going to read through verse 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. I guess this guy had enough of the social distancing stuff, so he ventured into town, even though he wasn't welcome there. It continues on. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. It's in this action that Jesus takes towards this man that has had me thinking this last week. Here's what I've been thinking. These questions of like, what risks of compassion am I willing to take in this moment of history? Am I willing to right now spend my limited income without knowing what the economy is going to look like to help someone else in need right now? Am I willing to lay aside the health risks to comfort someone else who is hurting right now? Am I willing to be socially shamed, maybe like on a social media platform, because helping someone means that I'll break the social distancing guidelines and I might get called out for it? Like, here's what I've recognized about Jesus, especially in this story in Luke 5. Jesus didn't seem to care to touch this man and to hold tightly to him when no one else had before. Like, just put yourself in this guy's shoes for a moment. Just imagine this man. He had been pronounced unclean, probably now the majority of his life, and no one dared touch him. And the reason why everyone was socially distant from this guy was because the mentality of the day was, if you touch someone with leprosy, you would be sure to get the awful disease yourself. So just stay away. And one thing that I've recognized about the healing that we find in Luke 5 is that the man may have made the first request to be healed, but Jesus made the first move. Look at verse 13. Here's what it says. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. This was an exceptional moment. Like, clean people didn't reach out and willingly touch unclean people, but Jesus assessed the risk and he reached out. Like, his compassion went further for others than the regard he had for his own safety. There wasn't a hesitancy in Jesus to reach out and to grasp the man. Actually, I think you could argue that there was an urgency to Jesus. You see, what compassion for people does is it disregards self. Compassion overrides self-preservation. A while back, a couple family members had asked me to speak to their elderly father because the family felt that their dad was giving too much of his money away. So I went and I talked to the man. I told him that his family was concerned that he'd give so much of his money away that he wouldn't have enough to live on and to take care of his own needs. And here's what the guy said to me. Like, so wise. He said, when your heart truly breaks for someone, there's no limit to how much you'll help. He was saying compassion overrides needs. It looks beyond self-preservation, and it becomes completely focused on another. This was the attitude of Jesus. This was the attitude of Jesus that led to the action of touching someone who he was supposed to social distance from. And I can only imagine that most of those in the town knew this guy. They knew that he was covered with leprosy. They knew his disease. And I'm sure they had known him from like being in town and him just kind of like being the beggar that was always camped outside the city limits. Every time he'd come into town, he'd be there to ask for help. Anytime he left town, he'd be still standing there, still asking for help. And he was like the familiar beggar of the town. Yet the town probably just overlooked him. Society just neglected him. But Jesus didn't. And I've discovered that the more compassionate you are, the more aware you become. And compassionate people are perceptive to the needs of people around them. Yeah, as we move through life, we can quickly perceive people as interruptions. Like, steer clear of this person. They have needs that will demand too much time and attention. Walk away from her. Her life's messy, and I don't need to get involved with her drama right now, and I don't need her drama in my life. But take a look at Jesus. Take a look at his ministry. He ministered for 3.5 years, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year ministry. And if it weren't for interruptions, he wouldn't have had much of a ministry at all. He was constantly being stopped, pulled away by someone who he needed healed or helped. Like, for the most part, those who Jesus stopped for were those who were forgotten by society, but were crying out to be found by God. And if you look for the word ignore in the dictionary, one of its meanings is to close your eyes. It's been true at times in my life that I hadn't shown compassion because it was inconvenient. It was just easier to close my eyes and to ignore them. That's not Christ-like. I'm sure you've given reasons why you shouldn't help someone with excuses like, I'm really busy right now. I've got things to do or a place to go, or someone who's more equipped or qualified will step in and help. You know, we've just like closed our eyes to the needs around us. I guess it could be the stranger on the street, like this guy who was begging outside of that town. But it's probably your neighbor or that family member that seems to always be struggling. Like, we've just ignored their problems. And what happens when we close our eyes to the needs of people, we really are closing our hearts to them. And when our hearts grow cold, we're no longer willing to risk anything to make a meaningful touch upon someone's life. And Jesus reached out and he touched someone who was considered to be defiled, and he risked the social shaming. He risked persecution from the zealous religious leaders. He risked his reputation. He risked his health. And I have discovered that compassionate people are quick to help. Like, they don't hold back, but take action. Like, genuine compassion creates actions. And an act of compassion is a language that the deaf can hear and that the blind can see. It's easy to recognize when you see someone compelled by compassion. Jesus is rapid in his response to this man's request for help and healing. Like, there's something so refreshing to the urgency that Jesus displayed towards this man's problems. Listen to how fast this miracle unfolds in verse 12 of Luke 5. When the man with leprosy saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Do you know what the opposite of compassion is? It's not hatred. It's apathy. Like, what can happen to us is that we become apathetic to the needs and to the hurts that are all around us, that we just don't respond to them at all. Or I think other times we can become so overwhelmed by other people's needs and our own needs that we just kind of shut down. And actually, there's something to this. It's actually called overwhelmed paralysis. Like, we can't find the motivation to help others out because we're so overwhelmed by the things that we've got going on in life that have, like, brought anxiety to us, insecurities to us, fear to us, that we've just shut down and we no longer are thinking outside of ourselves. Like, if you've ever thought, "I'd like to help, but I barely have enough time. I'd like to support them, but I don't have any money. I'd like to go the extra mile for my neighbor, but I barely have enough energy to go the first mile." Like, we feel that we're at a place where we're mentally, physically, emotionally exhausted, and sometimes we just kind of joke to ourselves and we say, "Boy, the person who really needs help here the most is me." What I typically do when I'm overwhelmed is I push problems off onto others. Maybe you've done that too. Or I totally dismiss them altogether. I've used this line of thinking before. "Not my problem. Not my problem." Like, someone else will help, right? But not me. This thinking is called the bystander effect. We're less inclined to get involved because we think someone else will step in and help. And so there's like this diffusion of responsibilities. Not my problem, I'll make it someone else's problem. What happens is we pull back from the situation and we remove ourselves from it. We close our heart off and we rationalize why we shouldn't get involved. And we think, well, they probably don't want my help anyway. Like, I'll step in and they'll be like, why? I didn't need your help. Or it's not really an emergency. So, you know, I'll let it play out a little bit. But Jesus shows us that compassionate people are quick to help. I think it's one thing to say, I feel so sorry for those who are isolated right now because they're without anyone to look after them and to bring them care. But I think it's compassion. I think it's compassion that moves us to act with providing companionship and care to someone you know who is struggling with the social isolation that we've all experienced. You know, the best definition of compassion I've heard is this. Compassion is experiencing your pain in my heart, and it leads me to action. So that means there's no more bystander effect, no more excuses, just action to quickly meet the needs of those around me. I love the story of the time when Colonel Sanders, the Kentucky Fried Chicken Colonel Sanders, Harlan Sanders, he was a real guy, by the way, was traveling on an airplane and an infant wouldn't stop screaming. Like, the mother tried everything to soothe and to comfort the child. And the flight attendants tried every trick they could think of to get the baby to stop screaming, but nothing worked. Finally, the colonel stepped in. I can just picture him in his white suit and that black string tie of his. And he asked the mother if he could hold the child. She agreed. And he held the baby in the aisle of the plane and rocked the child right to sleep. The flight landed. And the passengers were leaving the plane, and one passenger said loudly, "Colonel, we all appreciate what you did for us." Sanders replied, "I didn't do it for us. I did it for the baby." It's my hope that you take some risks this week and open your heart to the hurts of others, that you step into someone else's mess to help them find meaning, that you take action when your heart breaks for someone, that we leave behind our excuses, leave behind our self-preservation, that like Jesus, we will assess the risk and reach out. You know, as I read Luke 5, and I read it over and over this last week, one word stood out to me, and it was the word clean. It's so sad, that word. It's sad because that man with leprosy says to Jesus, "You can make me clean." And what he's saying is, "I've just given you a glimpse into my heart." And so this guy, we're seeing how he sees himself. If he was begging to be made clean, then that must mean that he believed he is unclean. And what's so sad is society told him he was unclean. Oppressive religious leaders told him he was unclean. And here he is begging for Jesus to do something about this. And the entirety of what makes up this man was being infected by this awful disease, his body, his soul, his spirit, this physical problem, this spiritual separation, this schism of his soul, all of it made this man feel unclean. And it labeled who he was. And the man is begging Jesus. He's begging Jesus for more than a healing of his leprosy. This man is begging Jesus to have his status changed. He wants to be accepted. He wants to be welcomed. He wants to be loved. He no longer wants to be in social isolation. And this guy wants far more than healing of the body. This man is begging Jesus to be made whole. This is more than a physical problem for this man. This disease has kept him from being in community. It has kept him from communion with God. It's hurt every aspect of his life. But here's the good news. Despite this man's awful condition, Jesus reached out and touched him as if to say, "What you say is true. You are unclean, but I will make you whole." You see, sin makes you untouchable. unable to get to heaven, to be with and connected to a perfect and holy God. Like a holy God cannot fellowship with what is unholy. And sin is a disease that affects our whole being, body, soul, and spirit. And it makes us unholy, impure, unclean. And sin's consequences separate you from friends and from family. It holds you back from a relationship with God. It will destroy your self-image. Sin makes you and I unclean. Earlier I had mentioned that compassion is your pain in my heart. And Jesus, who is God's Son, understood that. He took your pain, your uncleanliness, with him to the cross. And his death on that cross was when he reached out to you and to me, and he touched us to make us whole. You know, some of you feel untouchable right now. Some of you feel forgotten in this moment in history. You feel like you're trapped in a bubble of isolation, maybe. I want you to know Jesus loves you and he reaches out to you today. But let me have you look back to how this miracle for this man began. It started with this man recognizing he needed a savior and then calling out to the one who could save him. Like, this is how it should begin for you too. If you've watched today and you've recognized that sin or your rebellious spirit towards God has infected your life, it's hurt your relationship with God, then confess to God today that you're a sinner, that you've been rebellious towards him, and that you need his saving grace. Then, like this man who was healed, cry out to God and seek his forgiveness. God says to us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, you may be watching today with a callous heart towards Christ or have been running from God. Let me tell you, Jesus wants to heal you by forgiving your sins, and the Father wants you to come back home and to be in his care and in his grasp. You see, God has deep compassion for you. He loves you just the way you are, but loves you too much to leave you stuck in your sin. And Jesus has reached out to you. Come to him. Receive his grace. Receive his healing. Do that today. I'd like to pray with you, and then after we pray, we're going to continue in our worship. Father, today, we come to you, and we are so thankful that you receive us right where we stand. In our standing, in our place, in our position. Father, that you receive us right now with the disease of sin. And you've reached out with Jesus Christ, your Son, to heal us, to make us whole. Father, I pray for those that right now are taking their very first step of faith and are calling out to you and desiring to be healed. Father, today may it be a day of salvation for us, to be liberated from our sin and to walk freely in the grace of Jesus Christ. And Father, as we've focused in on the compassion of your Son, Jesus, may we too be as compassionate. May we too look beyond ourselves and see the needs for others. And may that drive us to be the one that helps, to be the one who reaches out and has that touch. Father, we're so thankful for showing us how to live, even in uncertain times. And we're thankful for your Son and his example to us and his saving grace that he provides for us. And we pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.